Hello everybody, I'm George Myler. Thanks for coming back to my channel. Here we are, day 23, if I got that right, of Trump's illegal war of aggression against Iran. Well, that not just the United States, but also Israel's illegal war. And it seems like it's around the road. I know there's a lot more in the arsenal of Israel, somewhat more in the United States. Bearing in mind the USA wants to be ready to fight in Europe and East Asia, wherever it may deem necessary. So it doesn't want to run down the stockpile too much. But Trump doesn't have a strategy. He thought he could lob in a few Tomahawk missiles and that'd be all over. It would more or less be a victory parade, bring the Iranian government to its knees. He could pick the new supreme leader. They would simply submit to everything he wanted and so on. And there would be no repercussions for him, although that was preposterous. It was the sheer predictability of Iran closing the Straits of Hormuz makes the US unpreparedness all the more scandalous. Because, as I pointed out, is what happened in the 1980s. And for several years, the US Navy, Royal Navy, maybe other navies, were having to escort ships. And there were some, you know, oil tankers were attacked, some were sunk and blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't going to be easy. So it just shows that just he does no preparatory work. He just doesn't look into the files. He doesn't seek advice from anyone else apart from a yes man, surrounding himself with this camarilla of sycophants. What you need to do is be red can. That's what US military commanders would say. In Afghanistan, I lay out my plan and get an expert in the field to provide a critical analysis. Tell me why it's going to fail. Identify the weak points. What could go wrong? Think again. I mean, you can't completely provide against all eventualities, but, you know, would welcome reproof, which he completely doesn't. So Trump always chickens out. Looks like what he's doing. And that's why he's saying to the Iranians, if they don't reopen the Straits of Hormuz in 48 hours, he's going to knock out, I can't remember what it is, all their electric grid or something like that. But he has got a history of making these blood-curdling threats and then not following through. With Hamas in Gaza, he said if they didn't do whatever it was within 48 hours, he was going to annihilate them or something like that. And he set a red line. They crossed that red line and he was made to look a fool. So that's the thing about setting these ultimata. You possibly overreact. Also, if you don't fulfill the threat, it's no longer credible. Like the boy who cried wolf. But then the next time, even if you are sincere, you won't be believed. Remember with the Russia, there have been, I can't even remember how many deadlines. There's a half a dozen in over a year. And it's never, ever happened, that ceasefire. And he hasn't followed through with anything significant. So that's why the Iranians will be saying, yeah, right. He's running scared. He's bluffing. We'll call his bluff. And then he'll look like the big chump that he is. So that's why it looks like he's backing down. And when he demanded to choose the Iranian supreme leader, he called upon them to admit to unconditional surrender. Well, they're not giving in, but that is a typical Trump strategy to make some sort of outrageous demand and then back down to something that was not quite so crazy. But so we've seen the strategy many, many times before. But he thinks perhaps it's saved him well in the business world occasionally, because, you know, they're talking about $200 a barrel oil, not now, but in a few weeks' time, if it continues like this. Remember, Trump at one stage is going to be a 5-week war, and that might be about right. Then Pete Hegseth said 8 weeks, but these very cheap Iranian Shahid drones, they can obviously hit these oil refineries, oil tankers, other ships. And, you know, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Bahrain, and other countries on the Gulf, there's so much of what they eat, drive, wear, all the rest of it comes in by ship. Yes, things can come over land, but the Arabian Peninsula, there's not fantastic connectivity in terms of road. Obviously, there are roads and rail, likewise. So much of their trade is seaborne. And that's why it's just getting difficult. I mean, I'm not saying they're starving, although they ever will starve. But, you know, they just won't have the plenty. They won't have the choice that they used to, because the UAE and these other Gulf Arab countries were not only safe places to live, they were luxurious places to live, attracting high net worth people and ultra high net worth people to this life of luxuriance. Opulence was the word. You could get anything you want from anywhere in the world like that. It was going to be available. And so quite apart from the threat, there's this. And the civilian casualties in the Gulf Arab countries actually have been very low. Let's not get carried away. In the UAE, there have been, I think, 5 dead. Now, the world may be lying. It might be higher, but it won't be hugely high. It might be 10. And 10 people are dead out of 10 million in 23 days is not a lot. I hope I'm not coming across as heartless. I would rather it was zero. I really feel sorry for the Iranians. It was like 3,000 dead. The Lebanese and the Lebanese casualties are in the dozens. May not seem like much. We're talking about a country of only 3 million people. Trump might be realizing this is a big mistake. Some of the Republican backwoodsmen were getting jittery. And yes, there'll be a few Trumpites, a few ultra-Zionists or whatever, a few anti-Iranian bigots, a few hawks like him, particularly chicken hawks, those who dodge military service themselves, were very keen to send young people to their deaths just for Trump's vainglorious braggadocio. Goodness, is going to come to an end quite soon. He said that they're negotiating with Iran. Well, they were negotiating before. They were negotiating in good faith. They were offering him a better deal than Obama got, as they were very keen to say, because he despises Obama. And they were going to sort of, the sanction be lifted. They would agree to these very stringent inspections of their nuclear program to prove it was solely civilian. And they would allow U.S. oil companies in there. Trump, he likes a deal. He likes to make money. Anyway, so he was going to destroy the Iranian power plants, but he's postponed that by 5 days to see whether an agreement can be reached. The trouble is, you never know who you are, Trump, because he'd make it a deal and tear it up. Like he said, he'd obliterated the Iranian nuclear program last June, and all of a sudden it was reconstituted. He had to wipe it out. So you got to blame Jared Kushner, who talked him into this, who is a fanatical Zionist and so on, who just thought that they were bomb all the time. So anyway, Trump, he just is so facetious about this. He treats it so unseriously. It's staggering. It's sickening when people are getting killed, like real people, as real as you and me. And they are human, too. Yeah. They have all the same sensations, all the same emotions that we do. Little children by the hundred. And that's what you say. We'll just keep bombing our little hearts out. Close quotation. It's revolting. I mean, this is not a game. This is real people getting killed, and he treats it so lightly. And that's the one thing about, you know, even the U.S. military. So they are willing to fight. They are willing to lay down their lives. But that must be only done when it's absolutely necessary. You've exhausted all other peaceful avenues. And this is the only way to achieve justice, doing it, you know, in consonance with the principles of a just war, morally, legally, proportionally, and so forth, seeking a just end. And all the rest of it, fought by just means. Obviously, none of that applies. I'm sure he's not heard of St. Thomas Aquinas at all. Now, Sakir Starmer has agreed with Trump that, yes, it is a arterial route, the Strait of Hormuz, and it is vital for global shipping. You know, so the Iranians, they are willing to parley. And, of course, they were speaking before until this happened. And the Iranians approved their ability to have strike Diego Garcia. Apparently they missed, but it's within range. Those are British ruled islands, the British Indian Ocean territory, where there's the Diego Garcia base on the Chagos Islands. The individual island is called Diego Garcia, and the U.S. Air Force is using that one. So there is a glimmer of hope that this might end reasonably soon. Yeah. I mean, I wish it had never started. It's entirely the fault of Israel and the United States. But, you know, Trump has failed. The Iranians can say, you aimed to change the regime. You didn't. So we won. Yeah. And yeah, they've taken some severe losses, but they're still there. And Israel, okay, they wanted to wreck the Iranian military capability, and they've reduced it very severely. So that's something of a success for them. Iranian nuclear program. There's a civilian nuclear program. Who knows that? Well, there's a military nuclear program. I don't know. But even their civilian nuclear program has been set back many years. Another point is, I know that you could take civilian nuclear energy and turn it into nuclear weapons. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, GeorgeCannon7.com. Goodbye.